Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Augustine said, human beings are like leaky jars, always unfulfilled. Can you identify with that? Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it to the full." My sermon title today is The Subtle Art of Living Fully. Jesus also said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." How does that work? Well, Pentecost, what we just read about, is a picture of how fullness works and what it means. Pentecost was a celebration of fullness. It was a celebration of the harvest. A time when what had been planted and growing for months was complete. The crops were done. That's a good feeling, isn't it, when the crops are done? At my house, when one of us says, "The pizza's done," we all celebrate. They celebrated every year at harvest time. But this wasn't just any Pentecost. This was the full Pentecost. The King James translation of your Bibles, our Bibles, translates that first verse this way. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Have you read that before? When the day of Pentecost was fully come. And it is rightly translated that way. From the Greek, that idea of fullness is there. As a matter of fact, in that entire section of Scripture I just read over and over and over again, there is this idea of fullness. And the way the sentence at the beginning of the chapter is constructed in the Greek is there is, and I'm going to see if I can get this right, Jim, there is an imperfect with an infinitive, and that indicates the end of a process. Now, if you want to understand more about that, you need to ask Jim, okay? Because I just looked it up and got it out of the book. But it's true. That's the way the Greek is constructed. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place. Now, when I say this was the full Pentecost, I thought to myself as I was getting ready to preach to you guys this morning, maybe I'm imposing too much on the text. You wouldn't think a preacher would ever do that, would you? Of course not. Now, I don't think I'm doing that now. This was also a celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. 50 days after Passover, after the death angel passed over Israel and Moses led them out, the law was given. The law provided a fuller revelation of God. But it turns out it wasn't the full revelation of God. Think about that. It was kind of like what God gave Moses on the mountain. Moses said, God, I want to see you. Well, that's asking a lot, isn't it? And that's what God said to Moses, too. He said, that's asking a lot. But God let Moses see a little bit of him, right? He gave him a glimpse of himself. And that's kind of what the law was, too. Just a kind of a glimpse of God. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was fullness. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, that is the full number of the 120 disciples, they were all together in one place. That means the leaders were there, the 12 leaders. One of them being Matthias, who'd taken the place of Judas. But not only were the 12 leaders there, we call them the 12 disciples later, they call them the 12 apostles. They were there, but not only were they there, but also there were others who were there. There were women there too. Ladies, is that okay? Men, is that okay? Well, it's the truth. There were men, there were women, there were old people there. Is it okay for old people to come to church? There are young people there. There were children there, I believe. Is this possible? Am I imposing too much on the text? I don't think so. They were all there. And then you go back to the antecedent, the ones who were there were the 120 that were gathering together in the previous chapter that we read about. The leaders were there, the laity was there, men and women were there, and the young and the old were there. The free and the slaves, they were all there. And the sound of a mighty wind filled the place where they were. And something like fire fell on them and rested on their heads. Isn't that the coolest thing you ever heard? All were filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and they began to speak new stuff. And the sound drew a crowd who were amazed because even though they were from all over the world, they understood those who were speaking in their own native languages. And I hope you were impressed by the way I was able to pronounce the names of all those countries a minute ago. Because there were a bunch of them, weren't there? Pentecost was the biggest festival of the year. That was when people were able to travel better. There were probably, I've read, more people who showed up on Pentecost for the big festival there in Jerusalem than even at Passover time, because they were able to get there from all of these different places around the world to worship and to celebrate and to give. And they were Jews. They were Israelites. But they all spoke the languages of the countries where they had been scattered to and where they lived at. And they all came back to Jerusalem for Pentecost, like a big, huge family reunion. How many of y'all ever been to one of those? Those are fun. But they heard what these people were speaking in their own language. And what were the people saying, by the way? What kinds of stuff were they saying? What does it say? They were praising God. And everybody heard what they said in their own language. Now, understanding the full impact of Pentecost requires going back to an Old Testament story in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Have you ever read the story of the Tower of Babel? Used to be a preacher when I was growing up. Ed Bousman was his name, from Ohio. He was an evangelist who used to travel and preach revivals. And he used to preach about Genesis chapter 11, and he called it the Tower of Babel. You ever hear anybody call it a Tower of Babel? I have no idea why he called it that, except I remember it to this day. Didn't make any sense. Why did they call it the Tower of Babel? Because that's where the people's languages became confused. Now, if you read chapter 11, and I'm not going to read it to you this morning, but go home and read Genesis chapter 11, what you'll find is that they had been advancing in technology, the world had been, after creation. And they decided, we're going to build a tower to the heavens. And I love the way that the writer of Genesis 11 words it. He says, they said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. And what happened? God said, you know, you got a problem, people. And so it says he went down and he confused their language and they were scattered. When we strive, and the point I want to make is this, when we strive to make a name for ourselves, listen, when we strive to honor ourselves, confusion results, wholeness is lost, and life is shattered and becomes a scattered mess. Can anybody identify with what I'm talking about? Marriages, families, communities, the world we live in. But when our focus is what they focused on the day of Pentecost, it's different. What was different about Pentecost from Babel? At Babel, they focused on making a name for themselves. At Pentecost, what was their focus? At Pentecost, their focus was Jesus. Their focus was God. When our focus is on honoring God, somehow His Spirit comes and He brings not confusion, but cohesion out of our diversity. People from all over the world, diverse, different, men and women and kids and old and young. And yet there was this wonderful understanding. Even though the languages were different, they all understood. And they said, I don't know how it can be. These guys are from Galilee, but they're all speaking my language. You ever go any place and you felt like they were speaking your language? You ever go any place and you heard people talking even though they were speaking English and you thought it was a bunch of nonsense? Come on. Something else Jesus says was whoever finds their life, do you remember what he taught? Will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, what does he say? We'll find it. Matthew 10:39. So living fully requires us to learn the subtle art of allowing ourselves to be emptied. Now this is a picture of the wind and the fire of God purging us of our selfish ambition and replacing it with grace. That's what Pentecost is. That's what it's a picture of. Our diversity remains. Our uniqueness is not eradicated, but gloriously God's Spirit communicates a new vision that allows us to see what we were blinded to before and enables us to move in new directions that we were blocked from. The Pentecost event is a sign. It's not a destination. Every worship service isn't going to be a Pentecost. How many of y'all are aware of that? Although every worship service has Pentecostal implications and has Pentecostal power and has Pentecostal possibilities. But Pentecost, as we read about it in Acts 2, as it happened there in Jerusalem, I believe probably in the temple area, it points to more. It points to the fulfillment, Peter said, of Joel's prophecy. It points us to God's dreams for us. Dreams of, listen, nonviolence instead of violence. Dreams of listening as well as speaking. Wouldn't that be exciting? Dreams of partnership instead of control. Grace in place of greed. That's God's dream. Pentecost is a picture of Jesus coming alive in the church. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 14 tells us that what the law was unable to do, God has made as possible, burning out and blowing away the fearful dependence that we have on ourselves, replacing it with the love of Christ and with boldness and with joy and with the capacity for Christ to live through us. Replacing all that fear, replacing all of that need to look good and sound good and be thought of right with God's presence and God's unconditional love filling our hearts and our minds in every situation. Pizza's done. Come eat. Christ's name, receive His Spirit. May it fill your life. May the wind and the fire of God purge all that does not belong in our lives. The selfishness, the fear, the prejudice. May it all be swept away and replaced with God's presence and God's grace. Amen.